Okay, so Roger Williams proudly represents the 25th Congressional District of Texas in the United States Congress. Congressman Williams has a history of public service prior. In 2005, Governor Rick Perry appointed Congressman Williams to serve as the Texas Secretary of State, where he worked tirelessly to promote economic development, investment, job creation, and border security in Texas. The Congressman brings a unique approach to Congress and continues to be the voice of Main Street America. He is a small business owner with over 50 years of experience running and operating a car dealership, a business he and his family still own and operate today. Roger was an All-Southwest Conference baseball player at TCU, which I did not know until today, so thank you for that, and was named to TCU's All-Decade Team for the 1960s. I hate to tell you, Roger, but you're old. After graduating from college, he was drafted by the Atlanta Braves, which is my favorite baseball team, where he played in for the farm system. In 2015, Roger was awarded the George H.W. Bush Distinguished Alumnus Award from the National College of Baseball Hall of Fame. In the 117th Congress, Congressman Williams serves on the Financial Services Committee and is the vice-ranking member on the Small Business Committee. As one of the few business owners in Congress, Roger knows firsthand the effects of increased taxes, government regulation, bureaucracy that hurts our small businesses and economic growth. And as a small business, I'm so grateful you're a small business owner. He stayed focused on issues ranging from government deregulation, fiscal conservatism, helping struggling businesses recover from the government-mandated COVID-19 lockdowns, and more. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Roger Williams.
I said that was a great introduction, but I don't know. So we passed in these hats. How many of you know this is kind of our moniker? So we got hats in the back, so get those. Don't tell anybody, I don't have an opponent. That's pretty good. So our campaign is based on hats and hugs. So,
okay. Hats and hugs.
And also, you heard today that I'm old. I didn't know that until. But I'm not the oldest person in here. Marvin Harry, his birthday today. So
yeah,
I'm going to sing Marvin. Happy birthday to Marvin Harry, okay? And I'm going to sing you the birthday the way we do it in Congress, okay?
Can you sing it to our sheriff, too? Because yesterday was his birthday.
I'll sing it to the sheriff, too, okay? So you guys stand up, and I'll sing you. This is what we do in Congress, okay? Stand up, Sheriff. Here's how it goes. This is your birthday song. It does not last too long. Hey! Okay, sit down. And a veteran. We appreciate that most of all. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Sheriff. Couple things. So I leave every Sunday. I leave Weatherford every Sunday to go to Washington, and I come back every Friday, every single week. And so the other day, and normally when I get on the airplane, I always fly coach. I take my coat off and fold it, but I was late getting on the plane the other day, so I didn't have time to take my coat off. I got in there, I buckled up, and boom, we took off. And about halfway through the flight, the lady sitting next to me put her hand on my shoulder, or right here, and she says, "Sir, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "That pin that you have on, is that FBI? And I said, as you would expect me to, "Yes, ma'am, it is." And she goes, "Well, that's good, because I thought you were a congressman." So anyway, and I spoke this morning earlier to a group, and we spoke and it opened up for questions, which I'm going to do shortly here, because I want to hear your questions. And the lady said, "I have a question." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Sir, my car is in your body shop. Can you help me without that?" I said, "Well, this is a political thing. I don't know if I can talk about that." So you never know what question you're going to get. You got to be ready, right? The car may be in the body shop. And then also, I want to compliment all of the women here. More women than men vote every single year.
Yay!
That's right. And more women vote, and more women are involved actively to get people delivered, to get people elected than women. And I want to thank you, and I think that's an important thing for all of us to know. And this is an important election coming up, isn't it? off your election is now the most important. And how many times have we said that, right? Haven't we said that every single time? This is the most important election of your lifetime, and how true it is. So what I want to do is introduce myself to you. My name is Roger Williams. I'm a Christian conservative, pro-life, Second Amendment, grassroots taxpayer, just like all of you. 12 years ago, when I got elected to Congress, we left a town with this pretty simple platform, and it hadn't changed in those years. It's lower taxes, less government, cut spending, defend borders, listen to your generals, understand the 10th Amendment, and always stay with Israel. And we've never gotten out of that mode. Now, we've added two more, fair and free elections, and we defend the police. We do not defund the police. And that's what our box is. And that's what our box is, and we never in 12 years have gotten out of that box, and it works pretty good. Now, with all that being said, I want to say something to all of you, and it has to do with people like me, people like the sheriff, people like the judges, you name it. Every 2 or every 4 years, we come by and want your support. And I think that it's important that all of us hear from you this simple question. If I support you and I elect you, how are you going to make decisions? This is important because there's a lot of people up there that say they are, but they're not. I'm telling you, more than you might think. And I never, ever wanted to run for Congress. I never said it. I never did. I don't think I ever said I want to be a congressperson. I was always where you were. Zan and I and others out here, people were coming to my office, and what did they want? They wanted my name. They wanted my house. They wanted my money. And they even wanted my dog sometimes, right? Because they say, Roger, I'm going to run for mayor. I'm going to run for Congress. I'm going to do this, and I need your help. And I would help them. But I got mad in 2010. Because some of these people I was helping were getting elected, Charlie, and they weren't doing anything they told me they'd do when they got up there. I mean, I'm telling you, they just didn't do it, and it made me mad. And I said, gosh, I got to run for Congress. Nobody's fighting for, on either side. Nobody's fighting for me. Nobody's fighting for Main Street. Nobody's fighting for conservative values. I got to go. So with the help of many of you in here, I got in a race with 13 people. 3 months before it happened, didn't have any money, but had a hell of a message. And it was a pro-business, entrepreneurial message with a smile on my face. And I didn't bash the opposition. We talked about solutions, because that's what people want. And we end up winning the doggone thing. I was going to serve 2 terms, and I'm in my 6th term in Congress. But this is no time to quit right now, is it, right? So that's the reason. That's what I think you all have to do. So if you ask me that question, let me just tell you this. We make decisions based on the following: fairness, family values, limited government, strong defense, lower taxes, quality education, conservative judges. That's right where we are. We make decisions based on that. Now, to help us get those decisions right, that we do several things. Number one is we say, what does the Constitution say? See, I'm a big believer of the Constitution. Now, I can't quote it to you, but I know where to get the answer. I'm a big believer in what the Constitution says. And so when we make a vote, my team comes together and we say, what's the Constitution say? Well, that's it right there. Now, unfortunately, the other side, the left-wing liberal commies, which is what they are, don't be afraid to say socialist, Marxist, or communism. Don't be afraid to say that, because that's what we're fighting every single day. You got to understand that, okay? So the other side, though, they think the Constitution is living and breathing. How many times have you heard Pelosi say this? What does that mean? I know what it means. It means just make it up as you go along. And that's what they're doing. They're making things up, and nobody, the courts or the papers or anything, are not challenging for it. But they're breaking the law every single day. But we say, what's the Constitution say? And we go by that. Secondly, we say, what's our district say? I know there's a ton of you in here right now I can look at. You've got the call from me at 7 in the morning. You've got the call from me at 7 at night. I say, where's the district? Where are we? Where are people on this issue? And you tell me. This is important. Because interesting time with redistricting now. Each one of us in Congress now represents 1 million people. I represent 1 million people. Now, I'm smart enough to know that 1 million didn't vote for me, but I still represent 1 million people. And we want to get it right. So you tell me. So between the Constitution, the district, and thirdly, your conscience. Your conscience. Your conscience of being D.C. is important. And I have found in Washington, 12 years of being your congressman, representing in Congress, that we make 2 decisions and 2 votes only, Zan. We just make 2, that's all. You make a vote, number 1, to save your political future. Or you can make a vote, number 2, to save America's future. Well, I'm doing the American future thing. You can check me out. I just got a 98% rating from Heritage, if you know what that means. It's pretty doggone good. But I'm voting to save America, save America's future. I've already had my career, my family, my business, playing center field for the Braves was as good as it gets. But we got people up there that are making political decisions to save their political career, and that's wrong. And that's why we need term limits, by the way. Okay? I would support that. But what I'm saying is, so we say, what's the district say? And lastly, most importantly, I read the Bible every single day.
Amen.
And the Bible will tell you how to be a congressman. We know this, okay? And so the other day, I saw the Dallas Morning News. They had an article, and they said that I've made 10,000 votes since I've been in Washington. Now think about 10,000 votes. That scares me to death. Number one, that's way too much government, isn't it? 10,000 votes. So I thought about that, and I thought to myself, based on the way we decide what we're going to vote, how we're going to vote, 10,000 votes. I can stand here tonight, today, unequivocally, and tell you out of those 10,000 votes, I have not made one vote yet that I regret. And it's going to be that way for the next 10 years. You can count on it. We will not get out of that box. So I think it's important you ask all of us, how are you going to make those decisions? That's important. You need to get those answers. So with all that being said, let me just touch on a couple of things and take your questions. I have a lot of concerns. And I'm a happy guy, just like all of you. I'm positive as heck. And we brought it up in our prayer. But we live in the greatest country in the world. Without a doubt, America is the greatest country in the world today.
Yeah.
And that's why you don't see people getting in boats and heading out, right? They're all coming in.
California.
But America is the greatest country, and Texas is the greatest state in America. But we got a little challenge to get it back on track. And there's a lot of issues out there. And I will tell you, Joe Biden is, and I mean this, Joe Biden is the worst president we've ever had. And that's why we're going to win in November, okay? And again, do not be afraid to confront the liberal left with the words communism, socialism, and Marxism. These are smart people, and these are people working their plan. Okay? You've got to understand that. So, with all that being said, I'm concerned about a few things. I'm concerned about the economy. Now, I'm one of the few people in Congress on either side that actually still owns a business. Many of you know we have a business here. We employ hundreds of people. So when I make a vote that affects you, it's affecting me. That's a bonus I think you get with me. I still own the business. I still sign the payroll checks. I'm concerned about the economy. So with that being said, the economy is still pretty good. But it's pretty good still because of the Trump tax cuts. See, I'm a big tax cutter. I want the money in the hands of the people, not the federal government. In the hands of the people, you get return on investment. In the hands of the government, you get just a horrible result. So I'm concerned about the economy. What am I concerned about? Like all of you, I'm concerned about inflation. See, I go back, some of us go back to 1981. Okay, 1981, you could go to the Weatherford National Bank and Mr. Doss or Zan's dad would give you a two-year CD at 19%.
Yeah.
That's true. Two-year CD at 19% because the rates were 20.
Yeah.
And we had double-digit inflation. Okay? Now, today, I'm worried because we have double-digit inflation and we have interest rates that are being raised every other day, it seems like. We're up to 8% now. And the problem back then, in 81, Sheriff, was the fact that we had inflation, we had interest rates higher than inflation. Now, we have inflation higher than interest rates. And that creates a situation where the Fed now is trying to catch Joe Biden in his runaway spending. We're printing money, and as soon as the money's printed, we go borrow on it. Now, the Fed, and they're in cahoots here, okay? The Fed made a horrible decision that they didn't try to, as they say, tap down the economy when rates were 2 or 3%. So now we're going to see rate increase again next week, so forth. We're going to see double-digit interest. We're going to see double-digit inflation. Now, the difference in 81 was we had 20%. We had this high inflation. And if you would have come down to one of my car dealerships, you could have bought a brand-new pickup for $5,500, a Chevy or a Dodge. You would have paid $5,500, and I would have financed it for you at 20% interest. That's just the way it was. Now, you fast forward to today. You come by a Dodge or Chevy or whatever Ford pickup, that same $5,500 pickup is $100,000 today. And I'm going to ask you to pay 8 or 9%. Well, we're in the same boat we were in 81. It took us 10 years to get out of that. But here's the difference. Here's why 81 was better. Because in 81, we had inventories. We had something to sell. So you drive by my place today, instead of 800 units on the ground, we got 50. You go anywhere, it's all the same. You see? So now there's no negotiation, nothing. You pay top dollar. So we had supply. We have no supply right now. And that's a real problem. And nothing we're talking about bringing it in. That's when you've got to give concessions to businesses. You've got to ask small business to hire more people. Let us take risk. Let us have reward. So you've got runaway inflation. You've got a Fed that's chasing the rabbit that's never going to get there. And there's no plan to change, to fix the supply side, because the supply side is what's going to bring inflation down. So I'm concerned about that. I spoke in Cleveland the other day, and I don't mean this to, you're going to think it's cute, but you get it. I spoke in Cleveland at the chamber the other day, and one of the people there owns the Western Wear store. And he says, I cannot get straw cowboy hats. That's pretty unbelievable. Well, I thought too, well, I got a story. My wife called me that day and says, Clara, the good news is, Clara, my 5-year-old granddaughter, is coming to spend the night with us. I said, that is fantastic. She said, but we got a problem with Clara. I said, what's that? She said, there's no tater tots to be found. And then go try to buy an American flag today. Try to buy an American flag today. So I'm just telling you this because this is the status of where we are in America right now from a supply side. You can't buy an American flag, you can't get tater tots, and you can't get a straw cowboy hat. That's the situation we're in. We got to fix it, okay? And I can fix it because we've got to give concessions and we've got to give tax breaks to the people and let people invest again and hire people and put people back to work. So I'm worried about that. The other thing I'm really worried about is the border. And a lot of you have been down to the border. But if you haven't been, it cannot be described to you. I've been going to the border on a regular basis since 2005 when I was Secretary of State. And I'm going to tell you, it's worse today than it was yesterday. And it's going to be worse tomorrow than it is today. So we will be in here about an hour, hour and a half. And during that time we're in here, there's going to be 2,000 people cross illegally across the border. They are coming. You cannot believe it. And if you go down there, we can take you down there. The wall is broken down. They're just running through the wall. The Border Patrol is overwhelmed. We need to pray for these people every day. The National Guard is there with to look good, is what they're told. They don't have any bullets. They don't have anything. Okay? And these people are rushing across. Now, if you think these are Hispanics and Mexicans coming over here for seasonal work, that's not the case. No. I get a report every week in Congress. It tells me who we've captured. The sheriff knows this. The judges know this. Okay? I'm telling you, these people are Russia. Now, why the hell is a Russian coming across our border like that? Why is that happening, right?
Yes, it can.
But they're Russians. They're Chinese. They're Yemenis. They're Venezuelans. They're Cubans. You name it. They're Iranians. They're coming across our border in droves. We think there's 5 million of them in our country right now. 5 million? And they're not going back. And they're coming over here legally, and we're not stopping them. And that's not to mention the drug cartels that are tearing generations of our kids. We're losing generations of kids. They're even putting fentanyl and jelly beans to kill our babies and our grandbabies. How can we not fight this? It's an invasion. It's an invasion of this great country. The drug cartels are running everything, and we are ignoring it. Now, I personally have said this publicly. They may be able to beat everybody down there, but you know who they can't beat? It's the United States military. And we need to go down there. We're being invaded, okay? And we need to address it accordingly. But I've got a real problem with what's going on down at the border. I want everybody to realize the American dream. I want those 5 million to realize the American dream, but realize it legally. Come through the ports of entry, not between the ports of entry. And I got a problem with you, whether you're whatever you are, I got a problem with you if the first decision you make to come to this country is to break the laws of America. Got a problem with you.
Amen.
You go down there and see those kids, and they tear your heart, they tear you apart. These little children, they have the only thing they have is a piece of paper. And it's in their back pocket. And they're told when they get up to America, call this number. And the number is a drug dealer or a sex trafficker. Oh. This is how bad this is. There's 17 flights a week getting out of McAllen, Texas at night that the Border Patrol can't even tell you where they're going. It's a real problem. It's probably the greatest problem we have, okay? And we sent $12 billion to Ukraine last week that I voted against because we need $12 billion at our border.
Amen.
There's more people crossing our border than there is Ukraine. So it's a real problem. And then lastly, there's a lot more problems than this, but lastly, I'm worried about our energy. We are the most dominant resource and country in the world. We saw that with the Keystone Pipeline, didn't we? We were sellers. We were not buyers. And Biden goes in there and cuts off the Keystone Pipeline, pulls out of Afghanistan, and boom, we're going downhill. We tell the world that we don't want to be an energy player, and we tell the world we leave our people behind. And this is what you got. Maybe you didn't like his tweets, but his policy worked. Okay? So this is what we have. And we should be all the above approach in energy. I'm for all the above. We have a nuclear plant in our district. I'm for all the above. Let's compete. Let's not subsidize. And let's all of us decide what we want. And let's own the energy sector of the world. We can do this. Okay? But we got a guy out there that's unleashing the Strategic Petroleum Reserve as we speak. This is our savings account. He's done it twice, and he thinks it's going to lower pain at the pump. No, it doesn't touch anything. But we're selling it to our enemies, and they're turning around selling it back to us, and we're paying twice what we sold it to them for. This is how out of control this is. And again, I remind you, these are not stupid people. These are people with an agenda, and they're using their agenda. And look what it's done to freedom and democracy that has been built on over 200 years. Look what how fragile it is when you tear it down in 24 months. That's why we're fighting. That's why we care. So, all that being said, I'll just close with this bit of cheeriness. 87,000 IRS agents. Now, how about that program? But that should worry all of us, right? Now, I think we get back to D.C., we can defund those people. But think of the idea of taking an agency that's not well-liked anyway from Main Street. 67,000 people work at the IRS, and they're going to add another 87,000, and they're all going to be 30 years old. They're all going to be piranhas, and they're coming to a home near you. And they're not coming to the big boys. They're coming to us, Main Street America, because we can't afford an accountant, because we can't afford a lawyer to fight. All we do is go to work every day and try to make payroll. So that's a real problem, too, but I think we can fix that. So there's a ton to talk about out there, but again, I want to tell you what a great thrill it is to be able to share this county now with Congresswoman Granger. You're going to have two great congresspeople representing Parker County. I want to thank you for your support. I want to thank you for your friendship. I want to thank you for leading in making sure our country is the beacon of freedom and democracy that people, everybody want to come to legally. You are doing that, and I'm with you. And I want to all say God bless Texas. Amen. But most importantly, when you go to bed tonight, and your head hits the pillow and your feet hit the ground the next morning, I want you to say to God that we are grateful that we have the ability to live in the greatest country in the world, the one we love to call the United States of America. Thank you very much. I'll just lead off of this and take your questions. So the two committees I'm on is the banking committee. It's called financial services, but it's the banking committee. We oversee the banks, we oversee the credit unions, we oversee foreign currency, we oversee the Fed, we do all of that. It's a really important committee. And the chairman of that committee, if this won't motivate you enough, the banking committee, who wants to take the banks and put them under supervision of the post office, okay, is a lady named Maxine Waters. She's my chairman. She chairs the banking
committee. No relation.
And to make it even worse, the squad, you know who I'm talking about? The squad is on the committee. I sit next to them. So we got to fix that, right? We'll fix that November 8th. We'll own the committees. The other committee I serve on is the Small Business Committee, which oversees the SBA and really Main Street America. It's a huge deal, and I'm going to be chairman of that, and I'm excited about that. And so we got a lot to do. That's why we got to win in November, right? So we got a lot of work ahead of us. And then Kay will be head of appropriations. So if you think about this, there's 3,100 counties in America. 3,100 counties, and to have the chairman of the Small Business Committee and the chairman of appropriations from the same county out of 3,100 is a really big deal.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty proud of that, and we're going to really deliver for everybody, I promise you. So that being said, I'd be glad to answer any questions. Yes, ma'am.
What is the plan of the Republican Party when we take over in the midterm? How are we going to get rid of those people that are there? Are they here to stay?
Probably here to stay. But I'm going to tell you, have you stopped? There needs to be a stopping point, doesn't there?
There needs to be a stopping point.
So,
is ISIS
taking care of ISIS? Well, the ISIS KKK, that's what our vice president said the other day. Okay, you got a great question. So how are we going to stop the influx? And how are we going to get a hold of these 5 million or 10 million people that are here that are breaking the law and get them back to where if they want to come, they come through the ports. Okay. First of all, how you fix the problem is put the fence back up. The fence works.
Yes.
Secondly, judges down there to give due process to these people work. You build the fence. These people who want to come over, want a court date to come over, you keep them in Mexico. It's called stay in Mexico policy. The Supreme Court said is legal. And then you give them their court date, and then they step over, and you give them the court date, and they enter, and you send them back home, and they come back when their court date's due, and they knock on your door again. Okay? What we're doing now, Biden, under Biden, he's letting these people come across the border. We give them a court date, and we never see them again.
Yeah.
Quisenberry will tell you about that. You never see these people again. It's stupid. So what you got to do is build a wall, put the judges down there. You've got to send a PR message that America is the greatest country in the world. If you want to come over here, you realize the dream of coming through the ports of entry. We got millions of people right now today standing in line wanting to be citizens. It takes too long to be citizens. We need to speed that up, okay? But it's the wall. I mean, it's the wall. It's more Border Patrol. And quite frankly, it's the U.S. military down there, okay? That's how you stop it. And then you got to gather up what's here. So, but the idea of getting 5 million or 10 million, they're going to be hard to find. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. How do we get this word out more to the public? Because the media is putting like a muzzle over our mouths.
Yeah.
Or it divides families so strongly. Like, unfortunately, my mother got, you know, on the other side. And, you know, just divides us. We can't even hardly go into our house because, you know, we're divided.
Liberals are angry people.
Yes.
They start out that way.
Yes.
And understand they have no court. They lie, and they don't have to worry about lying because they got the media to shore them up.
How do we get louder?
So, well, here's what we got, okay? We're on the right side of every argument.
Okay.
You guys, we are on the right side of every argument. And we don't have the press. We don't have the schools. But what we do have pretty much is talk radio. We get out on that. But what we do is we start fighting. Here's the problem with all of us. We all have a job. We all have families. We love our families. We love our kids. We love our grandkids. And if there's any time away from the job, we go to the kids. That's what we do.
Yeah.
We're happy people. And we love our country. And in the past, you know, these liberals will swing at you. And we just kind of ignore it because I got to get on. I got to go to work. I got to go to a sales meeting. So quick story. So this is the way it is. I mean, we're not angry. We're not as vocal. We just move on and we vote. So these liberals know every airplane that Congress people are on. And we go to Washington, they're waiting on you when you get off the plane. They yell and scream at you. They got signs. The other day, I got met by about 12 people, and it was all about my body, this body, da-da-da-da-da. And this woman is yelling at me in my face. And I got my briefcase. And normally I'd go up the escalator, just ignore her. But I don't know what happened, but it triggered. I had all I could deal with.
Yay.
So I put my briefcase down, and I remember going through my brain, I hope somebody is taping this. I hope they are. Now, I didn't yell at her, but I said to her, I'm so sorry that you're so angry and you're so embarrassed that you're a baby killer and that you don't love this country. I feel for you. I'm going to pray for you. And she blew out and just started crying. She said, I've never been talked to by a man like that in my life. And her husband grabs her and says, we're getting out of here. So they get out of here. I go up the escalator. I go back and tell my colleagues what happened. And the reason I give you that example is because I punched her back. And they can't take a punch. They can't take a punch. We have to swing back as conservatives. We have to swing back as Americans, God-fearing people. We can't let them have the final word. And we don't have to yell at them. Like they're going to yell and scream at you. But what if you just said, stop. I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray for you. That blows their head up even more. But the answer is you have to swing back. I'm telling you, they cannot take a punch. Biden can't answer anything in the press conferences. All he does is get up and walk away. Imagine if Trump did that or any of us. So we've got to swing back. Yes, sir. Plans for impeachment. Well, here's what I think. I think even our side, pretty tired of impeachment. Our guy got impeached twice for crying out. They were phony impeachments. Here's what I think we do. I think we win the House by 15 seats. I think we get the Senate by 2. That gets us control. Then he's basically impeached. He can't. He's powerless. He can't do. But he can veto. But I think that we need to move forward. The problem that we've got to address, the Republican Party, is we've got to make sure we don't overpromise like we always do, and that we don't go back in time. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to go back. Trump isn't president anymore. Let's quit talking about that. We got to come up with solutions. We got to pick about three things we can do and deliver and not overpromise. What you're going to see better than impeachment, because if you impeach him, look what you got, right? You're going to see better impeachment is you're going to see oversight. You're going to see oversight. You're going to see the Hunter Bidens and the Hillary Clintons of the world having to come to Capitol Hill to testify. Because we don't control the committees. That's the reason you haven't seen anybody come up. But when we control the committees, you're going to see these people coming up, and that's going to be better than impeaching Biden. Okay?
Will you ever run for president?
Well, everybody's going to run for president to 2024. But so I get asked, I mean, I do get asked that, and I take it as a thank you. I think I could do it. But I tell somebody I'm already president. I'm President Roger Williams Audubon, went from Texas. But you're going to see a lot of people run, and it's going to be unbelievable. Probably to win this next election will be close to $3 billion, you know?
Come on.
And I only have a billion. So. But anyway, thank you for that. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question about something I don't
stand
really
up.
Understand. You know, Venezuelans are here because they're fleeing a communist country.
Right.
And I thought that we had a different attitude about Venezuelans because they are political refugees. But the Biden administration is sending those people back to the Mexico to wait for whatever. So that's very confusing.
Well, the whole thing's confusing, and I'm going to answer that question, but you bring up about Venezuela. Look who we're begging on our knees. Venezuela, who hates us, and OPEC. And I said the other day, that kind of got traction, I said, if you're going to go beg for oil, Mr. President, go out to Midland and beg for oil. That's where it is, you see. He needs to do that. What they're doing with Venezuelans is asylum, okay? So they're even messing that up. So an asylum allows a person that feels like their life is threatened to go to the next contiguous nation and ask for asylum where they take you in. Okay? For some reason, he's got them asking for asylum and everybody asking for illegal entrance. Asylum laws, the only person who could ask for asylum laws the way they're set up is somebody from Mexico. If you live in South America, then you're supposed to ask Mexico, not the United States, for asylum. You can't skip countries. And it's all messed up. They're bringing anybody that's illegal in. I know what you're saying. They are by making them declare asylum, but I don't know what the thing is.
Do you have any thoughts or innovative strategies to recover the land being sold in Texas to Chinese? Yes.
Well, actually, the land in America, right?
Right.
But
yes.
Texas.
Yes.
So here's the deal. We're selling off our intellectual property. China's coming in and paying prices that are unbelievable. And I know all of you know there's 31 million acres of our farmland is owned by the Chinese. 31 million acres. And I think, is it Wisconsin or something? They're going through a bit, or North Dakota or something there right now. They're fighting a bunch of purchase from the Chinese on land. And when the Chinese own our food supply and own 31 million acres, they decide what they plant, what they put in it. It's a real problem. So there is a bill. There's several bills that are out, that are up in D.C. that won't happen now, but they would happen under a new Congress, where basically, and you've got to walk a fine line, but basically you can't sell to the Chinese. You can't sell your land. You can't sell your business to the Chinese. And that gets a little touchy, because if you own a business and you worked all your life for it, right? Somebody comes in, maybe you don't know they're the Chinese, and they offer you a gazillion dollars, you know? I don't know if you should be upset or not, but we have to get a hold of what the Chinese are buying. You go down to Austin, Texas, and I can tell you a large part of the buildings in downtown Austin, Texas are owned by the Chinese. That has to stop. Sure.
Is there any way to get that land back that they, farmland?
Well, it's sold. They've paid for it. No, I understand, but that's the things we got to talk about. But what we also have to do is deal in real time and don't sell them any more farmland, and then start clawing back as we can.
Okay, I have a question. Who is running America?
Barack Obama.
I thought so. I knew it all along.
It's third term.
No. It's
Barack
his third
Obama
term.
And all that crowd.
That's right. Rick Williams said.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just no question.
Obvious because he's mentally unstable.
Huh?
Biden is
mentally unstable.
Well, He may be, but we got to understand that they're, whoever all they are, they're working their plan.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And there's some smart people in there.
Yeah.
Socialists.
Yeah.
And they want to take the country over, and that's who we got to get out.
Amen.
You know. Yeah. In back, and then I'll come to you.
Yeah,
okay?
It's obvious.
Now, I wanted to get your insight of what's happening with the FBI and what's going to be weaponizing.
Yeah. So what's happening with the FBI? So isn't it horrible in America where you don't trust the FBI, the CIA, or even your courts? Really? And so I think we've all said this, but the FBI has great people working for them. They do. But you got this top level, okay, that is, things haven't worked out too good. We've caught them in lies. We've caught them in a lot of things. So what we have to do is we have to get the House, the Senate back, get the White House back in 2024, and appoint people that are going to rule by the law and not their own personal agenda. I mean, that's the bottom line. It all gets down to people. And now you can impeach a lot of these, but we don't need to be impeaching everybody. We need to move forward. We need to make tax cuts permanent. We need to secure the border. We need to have safe streets. We need to help the police. We need to cut inflation, get interest rates. That's what we need to be doing. But 2024, we own the White House and you own the Senate with confirmation. You get the right people in there. Yes, ma'am.
My question is, do we have a plan or something when you, Republicans are back in office for the homeless people? I mean, any streets you drive down Fort Worth, any city, you have all these homeless people.
Okay.
Is there
Well, there should be. Okay, the homeless is a real problem everywhere, right? A lot of it's driven by mental health issues, which we have to address. There are some issues that people are actually making money on the street. I mean, I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they all settle up and they divide out what they've got. So that has to do with creating an economy where you have to hire people to get a job. But I think, you know, what we have to do is we have to address the mental illness. And I'm not just going to tell you I know all about mental health, but I know we have to address it. And we have to create an economy where people need to go to work, want to go to work, and don't pay people to sit on their fanny. Because right now we are a country of guarantees, not a country of opportunities.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And we need to be of opportunities. We should not pay people. We should not tell people that $15 minimum wage is a career. We should not tell people sitting on the couch drawing unemployment is a career.
That's right.
Or we're telling young people that right now. A lot of these homeless are young people.
That's right.
So I think you address it that way and then address the mental health issues.
One more question.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you speak to the push of digital?
Okay, I knew you'd ask me that. So here's where I am on digital currency and Bitcoin and, you know, all generically speaking. That goes through my committee, my financial services committee. And I will tell you very honestly, most people don't understand this yet. Okay? And a lot of people on my committee, don't, me included, do not claim to understand it. Where I am on it, as we begin to learn, is it begins to get out, I don't want the government involved to mess it up. Don't you agree?
No.
We don't need the government involved in it. But I'm still in a learning process, as most are. And so I want to learn about it as we move forward. But it's going to go direct to my committee, so I will be learning about it. But government intervention always worries me.
All right. Thank you for all.
Be sure to get your hats now. It's all about the hugs and the hats.
Thank you.
Can I get a gift in college? Can you give me
some?